Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our phone number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. You can follow us at Everyman Sports on Twitter. My guest today is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great, son.
Good. Here we are at our family reunion. It's the summertime tradition. You meet up with family, you hang out and you talk and you eat and all that stuff. You catch up, so good place to talk sports as well. Absolutely. So the trading deadline happened. It passed. A lot of people moving. I was actually afraid that the trading deadline would be sort of anticlimactic because so many people were moving before. You know, Kazmir, Paul Hamels, Johnny Cueto, all the big David Price, all the big names went early. Troy Tulowitzki. And then at the 11th hour, I was like, I didn't think anything big would happen. And then the Mets got Cespedes. Yoenis Cespedes, outfielder for the Tigers. He's a Cuban defector a couple years ago to the A's. He was the one that the A's spent big money on. He's got a cannon for an arm. He puts on a lot of power. He's a good power show guy.
Why was he available?
Because he was going to be a free agent. And I don't think in this contract, they wouldn't get a compensation draft pick, something like a qualifying offer. So that's why a lot of these teams moved him. A lot, you know, and actually a lot of players who were in control beyond this season, like Cole Hamels was one, like not all the ones who got traded were free agents at the end of the year. Some were, but not all.
But big salary moves.
A lot of salary moves. The Dodgers were part of a 13-player trade. I mean, right now, currently, they're paying $82 million for players not on their team. But they got all these good pieces, and they have pieces to move in their farm system as well. So their Dodgers have actually set themselves up really, really well for the future. There's a great article on Yahoo about how they're doing business, where they basically take on bad contracts, and they also get like a prospect with it. Like, we'll take a... Who do you have who's you're paying $8 million for and they're doing nothing? We'll take him on. You give us a prospect, too, so we'll take the money off. You don't have to give us your number one prospect, but you get... So they're building up their farm system. They're taking back contracts that might be done in a year or 2 years, but it's L.A., so they have the wherewithal to do that. So, but, yeah, so that's really exciting for the Mets. And they almost got Carlos Gomez. He moved to the Astros. And Carlos Gomez almost became a Met, but social media got ahead of the game. They were saying that he was traded when he really wasn't, which made it for an awkward situation for Wilmer Flores. Did you see that in the game?
Well, there's no crying in baseball. What was he doing?
Well, the story for him was, you know, he signed with them when he was 16. When it was 07. And he's been with the team the entire time. And he found out, it was funny, they said he found out he was traded. He went in, because, you know, players can go into the locker room and video room and see... And see, yeah, what was my last at bat, or what did he do the last time? And he was in there, and they had the television on, like ESPN or something, on the ticker. He saw that he had been traded. Nobody came up, nobody pulled him out, and said that, you know, you're coming out of the game, you've been traded.
Usually that happens.
Well, yeah, but if you're not traded, you wouldn't be taken out.
Yeah.
You know. So it was just Terry Collins was like, why is he crying? He didn't even know that he, quote-unquote, had been traded when... In the end, he wasn't traded.
Well, he does remain clueless.
Well, yes, that is true. There are some decisions that Terry Collins makes that isn't always the smartest.
Like bringing the pitcher back 45 minutes later in a rain delay.
That was ridiculous. Well, first of all...
It imploded in minutes.
First of all, they had two outs in the bottom ninth. So the Padres and the Mets had a game where... You know, the Mets were leading at 1.7-1. And then the... Padres cut it down with a grand slam to 7-5. So it's 7-5, bottom of the ninth, top of the ninth, I should say. And they get two outs. And they got two strikes on, I think, with Derek Norris, the guy who hit the grand slam.
Right.
He ended up having a 4-for-4 game, his first one in his career. So that was the kind of game he had. So two strikes on him, he steps out, all that stuff, and he's trying to waste some time, and then the ump calls it. So two strikes, two outs, they call the game for a rain delay. And then they come back 40 minutes later, and Terry Collins sends the guy out again with two strikes.
Right.
I understand the reasoning behind it, but at the same time, these bullpen guys, these pitchers, they sit for half an hour, and they're off their game. So you put them back into a situation where, all right, you just have to get one strike, and you do, and
right.
He ends up getting on base, and then another guy ends up getting on base, and then a 3-run homer, and the Mets lose the game 8-7. It's ridiculous. That was probably, and honestly, I'm going on record and saying I believe that the Mets will end up being one game out. And if that's the case, this is the game I'm going to point to and say this is the reason why. If they'd won this game, one game, they would have been in the playoffs. But I honestly think that because of the Mets' history, that that's how it's going to be. One game out, and this will be the game you look at and say, should have won that game.
Well, that pitching gone away.
Yeah, if that happens. So, three games in a row, 3 days in a row, the Wilmer Flores game where he cries. And then the following day is that, debacle of a rain delay game. And then yesterday, we're recording this on Saturday, Friday night's game against the Nationals, which is a big series.
Sure.
Three games separate the two. And Wilmer Flores comes back and he hits a game-winning home run Friday night.
I mean, a little tug on his cape worked.
Yeah, but here's the thing. At first, the New York crowd was cheering for him on that Wednesday night game because he was crying because they thought Carlos Gomez is coming.
Right.
So thank you so much, Wilmer Flores. You've done your time. You've given us Carlos Gomez. We're going to applaud for you. We're going to stand up and cheer. And that's why they were doing it. And then on Friday night's game, they were cheering him all game because he had a great game. He had a fantastic stop in the field.
Right.
He scored their first run, an RBI single. And then he hits the game-winning homer. So now they're going to be cheering for him the whole time. And I think the reason why is he did something that no athlete does that we wish that we do as fans. We're emotionally involved.
Right.
Too emotionally involved sometimes. So here's a guy who's actually emotionally involved and not just saying, we're going to take it one game at a time.
Right.
They're a really good team. We can't look ahead. All this stuff. Do something. He showed emotion. And not just, yay. Like,
right.
Actual, that you care, that you love the game as much as
we
do.
Well, you never want to drink the water until the well runs dry.
That's true. Very true. So,
good message for everyone.
Right. Now, I will go on record as saying, if the Mets do make the playoffs, this will be the catalyst. This will be the turning point. Specifically, the series.
The trades.
Yeah, the trades, but the series against the Nets, which, actually, the Mets have won 3-2.
Wow.
With Duda, Lucas Duda now being the hero. He had two home runs in this game. And he had the game, the go-ahead RBI double, or single, I should say.
He is streaky.
He is streaky, but he's been coming on really, really big lately. So that's a big deal. I've also been keeping track of the Kansas City Royals Toronto Blue Jays series.
Right.
Two games back-to-back. The identical score of 7-6. First one by the Blue Jays. Walk-off hit in the 11th inning. And then the next game, also 7-6, won by the Royals. Home runs, the new acquisitions, Ben Zobrist, Troy Tulowitzki, all these guys putting in, being a part of the scoring. So I just thought that one's a really interesting one, too, that's going on. So.
They'll win their division.
Who, the Blue Jays or the Royals?
Royals.
Oh, yeah, Royals. Royals have a good solid.
So the only race left is the NL East.
The NL East and, the Wild.
The Yankees are pacing off.
They are. I mean, they have. They're on a streak.
Now, they had a star to go down right after the trade deadline.
Michael Pineda, which it was actually right before the deadline. Yeah, Michael Pineda went down with forearm stiffness. He has to go on the DL.
Yeah, well, that usually is a precursor to Tommy John surgery.
It's very likely. And then Ivan Nova also started for the Yankees. He's complaining of arm fatigue. Now, he came off Tommy John surgery, and this isn't this isn't strange that a Tommy John surgery arm has an arm fatigue. But still, I mean, the Yankees didn't do anything except they got a bad outfielder, Dustin Ackley. I mean, he has horrendous stats.
But before the season started, the Mets and the Yankees, I mean, Vegas had them at winning like 83, 84 games each, maybe 85.
Yeah, it was about even.
Looks like the Yankees are going to surpass that.
Yeah, they're probably going to surpass that. I mean, they've gotten fantastic years out of Mark Teixeira. He actually has been able to stay healthy. Brian McCann.
The big story is A-Rod.
A-Rod's the big story. I mean, you really have to say that, hey, look, he was the number one draft pick coming out of high school. And he's been a big-time player before he started taking his drugs. I mean, he was a big deal. Like, that's why he got that monster contract. Now, he says he started taking it because the contract was too much and he felt too much pressure. And this is a guy who's, he wants to do everything right. Or at least he doesn't want people to be upset with him. So to have him, you know, after he's off the juice, after he's been out. Remember, he's been out for a year and a half, pretty much.
And he's 40 years old.
40 years old, bad hip and all, and he's still raking. Like, he's doing a great job. He seems humble. Yes, he's been very humble. You know, he donated that money for his
third.
Yes, absolutely. He's been doing really well. And honestly, good for him. Like, that's what you want. You want these guys to come back.
And
if they've done
so
good.
Is he not going to get the bonus from the Yankees?
No, probably not. You know, it'd be nice if he really wants to up his game, then yeah, donate that. Say, all right, we'll just donate that. Don't worry about it. But he's going to be
repaired his public image.
I think so. At least he's definitely done it with Yankee fans. And honestly,
yeah, they're cheering him.
Yeah, and honestly, it's not as there's not like a visceral hatred of him anymore. It's just
he's human.
He's human, and there's so many other stories to talk about. Trout, and the Blue Jays, and the Royals especially, the Giants, all the Dodgers, all these other stories that A-Rod takes a backseat to it. So, but it's exciting. Serious August baseball will lead to serious September baseball, and so on and so forth.
And football coming around.
Football just started. And did you hear what happened to the Jets wide receiver rookie?
No.
Devin Smith. First day of training camp, he catches a ball, lands on the ground, breaks a rib, and punctures a lung.
Wow.
His second round wide receiver, supposed to be their big rookie wide receiver.
How about Sheldon Richardson doing 140 miles an hour?
143 with a 12-year-old in the car.
In the Bentley.
And yes, street racing.
With the aroma of marijuana wafting through the car.
And he's not going to be charged with misdemeanor. He's only been charged with misdemeanor traffic charges. Because they didn't find...
He didn't do 150 or...
No, so he's going to get speeding. He's going to get an outrageous speeding ticket. But no child endangerment charges. No drug charges. Now, that's from the cops. The NFL is going to drop the hammer.
What, like they have on Brady?
Yes. Yes. And you know what? Have you also seen that the Patriots have released their emails, to the... Well, so they released these emails that they sent to the...
They can't find Brady's phone, so they got to do something.
They released their emails to the NFL about wanting... Basically, their PR department asking the... demanding, really, the NFL front offices to fix erroneous reports about the 11 out of the 12 balls being... underdeflated when it was only like, what, 8 or 5 or
really?
whatever they say. You know, and then Chris Mortensen, who first reported it, he had to cancel his on-air interview with the Boston radio station. So the whole city, honestly, the whole region, is going after what they view as a slight on their
behalf. But that always plays well with football teams, us against them.
Look
what they're doing to us.
And honestly, this is the team that would actually succeed with them. With the Patriots, but it's just the way Robert Kraft is going after like this. Him, Kraft and Goodell's friendship is over. It's not even funny. But I don't understand what good is this going to come. The way that they're like, this is just vicious fighting now. That the Patriots are going tooth and nail at the NFL. Well, that's not going to cost them. It's not going to be good for business, at least for the Patriots. It's great for the NFL.
Well, it's in federal court. It's in federal court, man.
I know. But if allegedly all these other owners were pressuring Goodell into, you know, the Colts owner and the Ravens owner, pressuring Goodell to not lessen Brady's fine of four games. So if you've got two owners, you know, in Goodell's ear saying, screw the Patriots, and the Patriots going, we're gonna get down and dirty with this, that's like, I don't know if that's gonna be really good for the Patriots and for
the
Kraft.
They're not taking the rings back, so.
No, they're not.
So.
Which is fine. Whatever.
Can everybody move on?
Well, it's the news. The only way you're gonna move on is when the season starts. You know, camp just started. You're going to need the preseason games. And then regular season starts, and there you go. And then everybody's talking about the injunction that they hope the federal courts will put in for Brady. You know, where
right.
It's like, well, he'll serve the four games maybe later, but right now he gets to play.
Right.
But what if that holds up? And that's going to be in, what, December? So you're going to want Brady – you're going to want to risk having Brady sit out four games at the end of the season – in December, when he's, you know, according
to Tom Brady.
Yeah, I know, that's the problem. Look, I'm, as a Jet fan, I'm happy what happened to him. I love it. I think it's great. But if, you know, it's whatever in the end. You know, once the game starts, it doesn't matter. It's just week by week, it's game by game. You don't care about, you're not going to care about other teams.
Well,
only your own.
I heard week five, so that would be the week he comes back.
Colts. It's actually technically week six. He comes back week six because they have a bye week. They have a bye week really early. Week three.
But still.
Yeah, so, and that's against the Colts. So
that was convenient. Huh?
Yeah, of course that's going to be, you know, a big game. He's going to throw for five touchdowns. Yeah, he's going to make Buck look bad. And it's in Indianapolis, I remember correctly. Yeah, oh yeah, Brady, when he comes back, he's going to make everybody look bad. He's going to do all that stuff.
We'll see.
Yeah. I'd like him not to be. So that's the big deal going over there. And yeah. So that's what's
now
going
what
on.
What about the female MMA fight?
Ronda Rousey and
tonight, right?
What's her name?
Coria? Brazilian.
I think it's Coria. I could be wrong. You know, Rousey can beat anybody, and it's likely that she's gonna, I mean, who's gonna stop her?
But nothing lasts forever. Somebody's gonna beat her.
No, it's true.
But she's a big fan favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a big-time fan favorite. And, yeah, Beth Coria. Or Korea, how would you pronounce it. Yeah, it's a big one. I don't see Rousey losing. You know, she's just too good. She's dominant in the sport. She can beat the men, too. She can.
She submits Conor
McGregor came out and said, I wouldn't want to fight her. No, that's the bad news.
If you win... that's not good. If you lose, that's worse.
Yeah, exactly. That's bad. And then she said she's gonna, she's going. Oh, what is it? Because Roddy Piper just died, the wrestler. And she's a big wrestling fan. She showed up at WrestleMania 31. Like for a lot of fighters, they say like their escape is wrestling. She said she would honor Roddy Piper with this fight.
Oh, okay.
In his memory, so. We'll see. Well, he was a Golden Gloves winner when he was younger. When he was alive, obviously.
Well, I heard a quote how she's kind to fighters. She takes them out quick, but the one she doesn't like, she plans to go a few rounds with. And that's it. She says she doesn't like this one.
Yeah. So. No, she does. Well, Coria has said some not kind things.
She did.
Yeah, about her dad.
Her dad had committed suicide.
Yeah. Made a comment about that.
Yeah. It's not going to go
well. No. And then, you know, Coria's also defeated some of Rousey's friends, the other female fighters that she's friendly with. So that it's great. It's great theater. And it does have that wrestling tinge to it, which works in Rousey's favor.
Sure.
And,
it's
theater. Oh, it's absolutely theater. And that's what you want. In the end, you want to be theater.
Yeah, it's popular. That's why boxing's taken the back seat to MMA.
Yeah, MMA. It's wrestling without too much of the theatrics.
Right.
You know, you get trash talking, you just don't do it in the ring. You do it outside, and then you actually perform in the ring.
Right.
That's how that works. So, and yeah, so that's going on. Oh, Beijing just won the 2022 Winter Olympics that nobody wanted. And it was between Beijing. Was it Beijing and what was the other?
Kazakhstan.
Yeah, yeah. Kyrgyzstan or Kazakhstan, I forget which one of them. So they've got the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, but it doesn't snow in Beijing.
No, but they're hoping that it actually ups the Chinese hockey. They want to have that be the next big thing. I mean, China's always looking for, in terms of athletics, the next thing that they can,
well,
you know, at least excel in, maybe not dominate.
They want to be recognized on the world stage.
Well, sure. Well, they've done that with baseball, with the World Baseball Classic, the one that Bud Selig put together. You know, China's got a team. I think they've won one game. But they've been doing it for a couple of years now.
Yeah, but the cost is too prohibitive. I heard it was something like $51 billion. I mean,
oh, the Olympics? Yeah.
Plus all the scandal with corruption. I mean, who wants to get involved?
It's horrible. It really is.
So it's authoritarian states. So
and honestly,
really want to do this.
It made sense when transportation wasn't that easy and it took 4 years to get to certain places in some respects. Or, you know, or figure something out. But, I mean, at this point, just have it every 2 years.
Right.
You know, have the Winter Olympics every 2 years and alternate.
It's prestige.
Right. Yeah, and you want to make it more special by having the Olympics so, you know, few and far between. And then
but Winter Olympics are not a big draw.
Well, they have a smaller amount of countries show up.
Sure.
The most dominant country in the Winter Olympics is Norway.
Probably.
Norway, Germany, United States.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But, you know, how...
I mean, there was a Jamaican bobsledding team, but...
There was,
the
but... how many ski jumpers are coming out of Brunei or Ghana? I don't know how many...
right. It's not that popular.
I don't know how many Myanmar ski jumpers there are anyway as well, so... So, yeah, so that's happening. And I'm trying to think what else is happening out in the world of sports. It's just it's a lot of baseball. Baseball is really the topic.
Right,
you know, it's August. We're going to start the Fantasy Football League soon, the Everyman Sports Fantasy Football League. We almost have a full complement of players in our league, so we just got to wait for that, and the draft's going to be up soon, and then we can get started, have a lot of fun with that.
Do you have to wait till the rosters are set?
No. No, you don't. To draft in a fantasy?
Yeah.
No. Some leagues have already drafted before camps even start. You just draft the players and...
You stay away from the highest yardage running backs from last year.
Honestly, I don't think about running backs until later in the draft. Because they're most likely to break down.
Right.
Because... there are different draft strategies. I mean, 9 out of the top 10 ranked players in fantasy football are almost always running backs. And there's one theory that I don't personally subscribe to, but it makes sense, which is called the zero running back draft strategy. You don't draft a running back.
Wow.
You save that until the end. You cut guys and you look who's available. Because, you know, running backs can break down very easily. I always go with quarterback number one, and you go for that. You get the top quarterback. I look a couple rounds later, I find another quarterback, maybe like an Andy Dalton.
What about a kicker?
Kicker? I wait a little bit. I used to go higher with that. But quarterback, defense, wide receiver, tight end, those are the ones I really look for first in the first couple rounds. And then I'll fill out the rest later. So that's my strategy.
A guy like Adrian Peterson,
he might do well. You know, he didn't play much last season, so he should be okay. And I know Josh Gordon's not going to be around this year because his drug charges still. He really likes to sell cars at that dealership in the Cleveland area. He loves. He said, I love selling cars. I don't want to leave that job. That's a fun job. So. But we'll see how the camps go. We'll see how all that goes. And, like I said, it's just a lot of baseball right now, as well it should be. A lot of big races happening. The Astros and the Angels, you know, nobody thought they would be this far ahead.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot to deal with in terms of their minor league system. They've got great young hitters, all that stuff.
And they're able to hack into...
No, that's the Cardinals.
The Cardinals.
Which, that story went away. That's amazing. The Cardinals can never do any wrong. The St. Louis Cardinals. Well, they've only had two seasons since like World War II where they've been under 500. Two seasons.
It's incredible.
Since 45, 46. It's amazing. So nothing ever goes wrong for them.
Don't count them out.
No, you never can. And then the Cardinal way and all that stuff. So good for them. All right, well, thank you very much for joining me this week, Dad. I appreciate it. Thanks again. Our number again is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. Please call up, leave a message, contact us. You'll be a part of the show, and you can join in. You can also follow us or see us on Twitter, at Everyman Sports. That's one word, at Everyman Sports. But please let my friend Andrew continue telling you all about our social media and other such things. Take it away, Andrew. Thank you.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.